Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, yes, I am. And this has been a great day so far. In fact, there have been such a wide variety, but quite frankly, my heart has really gone out to several of our callers.
Yes, we've
some
had
very serious issues.
Some very serious issues and folks that, you know, we really want to do well.
That's right. So. Very touching. If you don't have your health,
the rest don't matter much.
It really doesn't, does it?
No.
It just breaks my heart, but again, that's the exciting thing at Longevity Medical Clinic. We really don't think you need to fall apart on at the normal rate. You just don't have to. But that's a hard thing to get across, Jerry. People just think, well, I'm getting older, it's going to happen.
Well, and, you know, eventually bad stuff happens to everybody.
Well, of course.
We don't get off this earth alive. But, you know, we want to be as strong, fast, lean, smart, and sexy as we can for as long in life as possible.
Yeah.
And we want to intervene as smartly as possible when bad stuff does happen.
Yep.
So.
Yep. You have a story to tell.
Yes. And I've told the story a while back, but I'm going to do it again just for fun. And it came to mind because we were talking about what happens with people who become patients and then at some point stop being a patient for some period of time.
Sure.
You know, I started on therapy when I was 49 years old. And so I have been on a program more or less complex in the early years because we didn't know as much. But I was doing quite well and never really experienced what I was supposed to feel like at my age. You know, at 49 when I started, I was overweight. I was tired. I was a bit depressed. I was fatigued all the time.
I've seen you, there's not many pictures of you back then.
But there are some.
You wouldn't, literally, you wouldn't recognize you at 48 or 49. You look totally different.
Different, yeah. Well, I'm a lot older, 73.
Well, no, not just that, but, you know, anyway.
Yes. But, yes, I am leaner. Oh, I have more muscle. I have less fat, you know. But when I married my wife, when we got married, I was 58, she was 28. And in her 20s, she did not want children. You know, in fact, I kind of laughed when I told her that, you know, I could not give her children. I had already had a vasectomy. I had been on testosterone supplementation for many years, which had decreased my sperm production and so on. And so I said, you know, if you want to be my wife, we will be a childless couple. And she said, that's okay. She said, I am too greedy and self-centered to want a child. I want all of your attention. I don't want to share it with another person.
Okay.
And, but I knew, having lived a while, that biology changes the way women think. And indeed, when she hit her mid-30s, she came to me and just as honestly said, Jerry, I really want a baby. And, you know, I was even further up the road by then. That vasectomy was even more decades in the past, and the testosterone supplementation had still been in place. So, but, you know, when you love a woman, you can't tell her that she can never have this integral part of being a woman. So I told her, we'll see what we can do. So we went over to the fertility clinics, and we both got our genetics done, and we had all our exams and so on done. And in order to get her pregnant, we went for IVF, in vitro fertilization. And so I had to go off all of my hormone and all of my supplements for several months.
Even the supplements?
Yes, we were trying to not do anything that might decrease my sperm production. Even though I'd had the vasectomy, we wanted the testicles to start producing sperm again.
Okay.
So that when we induced her to kick out a lot of eggs, we could harvest the eggs, we could get my sperm by putting a large bore needle into the vas deferens, into the epididymis, and suck out enough sperm to fertilize those eggs. In that several months without any of my endocrine intervention, I discovered what it was truly like to be 64.
64.
I was 64 years old, and I had never aged normally. I had had the hormone balance of a 25-year-old since my 40s, and I was much better in my 60s than I had been in my 40s.
Yeah.
I was stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and having a great life. All of a sudden, I let all of my hormones go back to that of a 64-year-old man, from a 25-year-old man to a 64-year-old man.
Overnight.
Yeah. I hated it.
You were not fun.
I was miserable to be around because I was miserable in my life. My muscle mass started to shrink. My body fat started to go. My belly started to expand. I was tired. I was fatigued. I was having nightmares. I didn't sleep well at night. My energy level was down. I couldn't run anymore. I'd run and I was getting short of breath with, you know, just half a mile, and I was puffing and panting. And I normally run 3.5-4 miles. My push-ups dropped from 50 to the low 20s. Okay. I mean, I became an old man over about a 3-month period.
I became
a normal 64-year-old man. And I had been functioning like a man a couple of decades younger than that. I hated it. So we did get her pregnant, and I went back on my hormones. And I have been so grateful.
It didn't take long, did it?
No. As soon as her pregnancy test turned positive, and we watched her for 12 weeks to make sure she wasn't going to miscarry. But once she was through that first trimester, boy, I was back on my hormones big time. Yeah. But for you guys out there, here's what I went through, and this tells you how much I love my woman, okay? The plan was I was going to go off all my hormones and endure being an old man for several months until my testicles could make sperm. Then we were supposed to stick a large bore needle into my epididymis, the base of the testicle, and suck out enough sperm to fertilize her eggs. We didn't get enough sperm. Mm. So they had to make an incision and cut a wedge out of one testicle to get the sperm. Now, if you think getting kicked in the scrotum hurts, you wait till somebody cuts a wedge out of a testicle to get the sperm to fertilize your woman's eggs. Okay. I told my wife, I love you. We will do this once. Only once. All right. So.
What if she'd have come back and said she wanted to do it again?
We saved the sperm
and
the frozen eggs for several years, just in case she needed another one put in. Yes. But no, this was a much loved, much wanted baby because I went through a lot to get it. So,
well, the bottom line of this story, the moral of the story is you don't have to fall apart like everybody else.
You really don't. And I experienced firsthand the difference of being a man in his mid-60s with all this support.
Yeah.
And then being a man without the support. And then going back to being a man with the support again. And I got to tell you, guys, having the endocrine support of a 25-year-old is a hell of a lot better than having the endocrine support of a 64-year-old. There's no doubt in my mind.
Indeed. Indeed. Well,
anyway, let's take a call.
Let's take a call. I'm going to jump around here just a little bit. Let us go to Arlington and talk with Anne. Anne, welcome to the program.
Yep.
Hello, Anne.
Thank you. I'm here. Hi. Doc, the first thing I want to say is I think what you do medically is fantastic.
Well, thank you.
I came in for a health assessment and decided, yep, I'm going to sign up. And the person who counseled me in the health assessment gave me a story of kind of how that works. And so I made the appointment, assuming I could come in, blood draw, and sign up. So a couple days before the appointment, I called with a simple question. I just, how long do I need to allow? Because I'm planning something later in the day. And that person very politely started walking me through what they do. And as she spoke, I realized that it was a very different story from what I'd been told at the health assessment, to the tune of quite a lot of money. And I thought, wait a minute. And yeah. And so I don't assume any nefarious intent or anything, but that was so unsettling. I said, look, it just canceled that appointment. And I thought, you know, it's your practice, it's your business, you're the boss, and the only thing I know to do is appeal to you and some transparency and before I proceed any farther. So there's detail, and we probably don't want to stretch it out to a crazy length of time on the air. Excuse me. And
yes.
And how something is really, really wrong, and I'm still very eager to get started. And back to my original treatment, I think what you do medically is fabulous. So,
well, let's deal. We're obviously having a bit of a communication problem. So, Jerry, why don't you address this?
Okay. First of all, I hope nobody has ever misled her.
Oh, my God.
You know, the laboratory work, the initial laboratory work is, I think, $595, about $600 bucks for the lab.
The first tests are free. But if they want to...
If they want to proceed, then the full panel, and there's about $2,000 worth of tests there that we do for $595, or about $600. Then they come in and they sit down with the doctor. The doctor spends an hour going over the laboratory work. And then they get to decide whether or not they want to become a patient.
Yeah.
If they decide to become a patient, there is a annual fee, and it's usually in monthly payments, yeah. And it's $395 a month, and that includes all of the lab work we can do in our lab. And there will be umpteen $1,000s worth of lab work done during the year, but it's all included in that monthly fee. It's unlimited doctor visits for what we do. We do not, you know, take care of your bunions and treat you for bronchitis. But everything within our bailiwick, we will see you as often as we need to see you for an average of an hour at each visit.
Yeah.
And there will be an average of 5 visits or so the first year, but some people 6, 7, 8, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
There's unlimited laboratory visits, unlimited doctor visits for what we do. Now, the only lab fees in addition are what if we send it out to another lab, something we can't do.
Mostly we don't do that, but occasionally there's a need
but for instance, there's genetic studies, allergy studies and stuff people want to get done. If I send it out, if I got to pay for it, you got to pay for it. I mean, that's the real world. So everything in our lab is included. Everything is done somewhere else. If they send me a bill, the patient's got to pay it too.
Yeah.
And then there are supplements.
Yeah.
Some people will be on a lot. Some people will be on a little. I don't know how to cost that out. Her concern is that it costs more than a simple, the $595. Yeah. And yes, it is ongoing costs, and because you're getting ongoing care.
Well, let me say this, and I say this with 100% certainty. This is an area of concern that I kind of oversee, and I want you to know that in the last 22 years, this is the first complaint that I've heard of that there was a miscue between that initial. And like it was a shock when supposedly the cost. So something is really rotten in Denmark here. This just doesn't happen, miscommunication.
Yeah, when I gave it in the seminars, I always laid this out very clearly with slides.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the presentations on the website still have those slides. And the
slides, the prices, they are shown to every person that comes in the door. There is no ambiguity, none, yeah. Zero, zip. So all I can say is...
We try to be straightforward.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and ma'am, here's the other thing, is that we are the least expensive clinic that does this comprehensive care...
Drives me nuts.
...that I'm aware of in America.
Yeah.
Our closest competitor is $26,000 a year.
Oh, gee. Which is what, five times or?
Six times. Yeah.
Yeah.
We our people average, if they put everything, supplements, prescriptions, laboratory, everything we do, plus everything that the pharmacy fills, plus all the supplements,
yeah.
It'll be around $6,000 a year.
Yeah. And like I said, this is all laid out in the health analysis present. When you make a free health analysis appointment, we not only speak these numbers, but they are.
They're in writing.
They're in writing. They're in a presentation. They're on the slide that you actually see. So, like I said, in thousands of patients, this is the first time I've heard that there was a slip-up.
But anyway, ma'am, so if you weren't aware, I'm sorry.
Definitely.
But we're doing everything we can to make it clear.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, the first time in thousands. So we apologize. There's obviously some sort of slip-up, but you are truly unusual. But blessings to you. Hopefully you'll reconsider. Like Jerry said, one battle that Jerry and I often have is he refuses to charge what I think he should charge.
My goal is to carry this to as many people as humanly possible.
Yeah.
And so... despite the fact that my executive staff has complained at me for years.
That's so true.
For decades, Longevity Medical Clinic has basically been run at a break-even point. Some years we lose 50 or 100,000. Some years we make 50 or 100,000. But on balance, it's pretty close to break-even. And so if we charge less, we lose money consistently, and that means the clinic closes and everybody gets fired.
Yeah, people don't understand the margins are so thin. About even though that it sounds dramatic, but
our average profit margin is about 1%.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I can't go lower than that.
That's right.
Because everybody needs a paycheck.
Like I said, you can go down the street to try to find a competitor, not that there are many, but even if they come relatively close to try to do what we do,
it's a lot more expensive.
It's usually 3 to 5 times more expensive.
Yeah.
So be it.
Yep. So anyway, I don't make my money through Longevity Medical Clinic.
Yeah. There's other avenues, teaching all sorts of stuff, and we just.
Yeah, I have other enterprises that I make significant profit, not this one. So, this one is my good deed for the world.
That's right. And no matter what I say, that's the way it's going to be. We are very excited about the fact that Longevity is growing and advancing and expanding. In fact, to that regard, we need another MA or two. We need another receptionist. We need another doctor or two. We are growing. The demand is great. And if I have my way, we will start making more money. And so hopefully that happens. If you would like your free health analysis appointment, never been a better time. We've got them. They're available at lmclinic.com.
I've been a longevity patient for about 17 years, and I can remember back in the day, I listened many, many, many times before I took the plunge, because at first I went from skeptical to, you know what, I'm going to do it.
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you can make the darkness bright.
Do you think he's singing about you, Jerry?
No, they're thinking about my wife.
Well, we're having fun with this.
She makes my whole world better.
When you, I got some texts during your little story about your wife and the baby and the procedure and your the cutting of your
I suspect privates. Most of the men that hear that story cringe a bit.
Well, I got a text from Ron, a good friend of mine, who just said, ouch. And yeah. Another, well, I can't even repeat. So, in essence, that's love.
It is, and
have you ever been happier with a child? I mean, you've got a lot of kids, and she is
my eighth. Yeah,
she's your eighth.
My oldest is 49, my youngest is 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
But the others were much easier to get started. That was in pre-vasectomy days.
That's so, and again, this. The last person when coming from the break with the song, The Platters and Only You, the person said that they stalled for a long, long time. They were skeptical before, as she said, she made the plunge 17 years ago of becoming a patient.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it interesting? She's been a patient. In fact, we had another patient that was 17 years a patient. We had one today that I think she said 11 years, whatever. Isn't it interesting that these people keep wanting?
They keep coming.
We do annual agreements.
Yes.
For patients.
And each year they decide they want to continue another year.
Is this worth it to spend the monthly fee or the annual, however they want to pay it?
Some people pay annual because they get a discount.
Yeah, there's a 5% discount to pay it annual, which is smart. A lot of people do that, actually. Anyway, they keep doing it year after year after year after year, and there's a darn good reason. Mm-hmm. So, and then
they like the results.
That's right. You really do get what you pay for, and I
no.
Oh, say what?
You don't always get what you pay for. You always pay for what you get.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Okay. I have many times not gotten what I paid for in life, but I always pay for what I get one way or another.
Yes. Yes. That's right. So, in any event, I think you'll be pleased making the free health analysis appointment. It's kind of just the first step. So, I encourage you to do it. Let's go to Arlington again and speak with Alex this time.
Hello, Alex.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How can I help?
I am having some atrial fibrillation events that I'm not understanding what causes them, you know, sets them off.
Uh-huh.
To give you a little background, I have been a longevity patient for almost 4 years and continue to do so. I'm very happy with the program. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I have all my sheets of information in front of me if there's any questions you need to ask as far as my general overall health, which is very good. I'm not overweight. I eat pretty good. My body fat's pretty low. I'm at 12%.
Very low, in fact.
My weight's 160. Muscle mass is 79. And overall, my nutrition's very good. Visceral fat level is 4. And most of these improvements have been due to the program and my continued exercise. I'm just not sure why I'm having these events.
Okay. How old are you?
61.
Okay. All right. Any other vascular problems that you're aware of?
I have chronic hypertension.
Okay. That is one. That's an important one. And I'm not going to ask you about erectile dysfunction on the air. But you should bear in mind that is a major sign of cardiovascular dysfunction. If you're not getting enough nitric oxide production for good quality erections, then your heart is also not doing as well as it should. So those two are very tightly linked. That's one of the most obvious and semaphoric, quality of life issues.
Excuse me, are you saying, side note, for people that start struggling, maybe in their 40s or 50s, with ED, that may be a signal?
That is a signal.
It is.
It is a signal. It's very tightly, yes. Men with erectile dysfunction are having cardiovascular dysfunction, and they're not dilating their blood vessels enough to provide good erections. That tells me they're also not getting enough dilation of the blood vessels in their heart, their lungs, their brains.
Okay.
And so, yes, they are higher risk of heart attacks and strokes.
Okay. So just to clarify things, I have no problems in that area as far as erectile dysfunction. Everything works normally.
Okay. So those are all, those are all positive signs then. So what we're probably looking at, and this is unfortunately the hardest issue to handle, people that develop intermittent atrial fibrillation, and from your description so far, it sounds like that's what you're getting. Sometimes it fibrillates, sometimes it doesn't. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay. How long ago did you get your first episode that you're aware of?
I had one in March this year, which was pretty long in duration. I think I was in for about 20 hours.
Okay.
I did not understand the severity of what was going on until I saw my primary care physician a couple of days later, and then he explained to me that this is pretty serious.
Yes, it is.
In May, I read a book that my wife got by Dr. Jeffrey Gerber and Ivor Cummins called Eat Rich, Live Long, that went into great detail about insulin levels being too high, causing arterial inflammation.
Yep.
And I had a CT scan shortly after that was recommended by Dr. Armstrong, who's with Longevity.
Yes.
And found out that my calcium score is like 590.
Ooh,
and had increased from 400 like 2 years earlier.
All right.
And then I had a second episode August 24th, and that one actually sent me to the hospital for a few hours, and they had to do a cardio version to get me back to normal.
Okay. All right. Have they put you on medications to keep you out of atrial fib?
They recommended some, but I had stopped taking my Atenolol for my blood pressure. I have since resumed that.
Okay. All right. And how much Atenolol are you on? Is it, 25 or 50?
It is a 50 milligram tablet. I take half of it in the morning and half at night.
Okay, so 25 twice a day. All right, which is it's a modest dose, but it's often enough to prevent the atrial fibrillation. Okay, what is usually going on is it's a defect in microcirculation, and the fact that you've got a calcium score over 500 is very worrisome. What that tells us is you have formed plaque in your arteries over a long period of time that have now calcified. Calcification is one of the ways your body stabilizes the plaque so that it doesn't rupture and cause a sudden heart attack. So, the fact that you got all that calcium says there's a lot of stabilized old plaque there. The scary part is if you got that much old plaque, how much new plaque that doesn't show up on the CT is there? That's our worry. Your exercise tolerance, how do you do when you run and jump and exercise vigorously? Are you tolerating that well?
I do very well. I have an upper body workout that's pretty strenuous. Lots of different exercises. I use free weights. I usually do it 2 to 3 times a week. The upper body part usually takes me a good 45 to 50 minutes, and then I jump on my mountain bike and ride for 2 or 3 miles down the road and back after I finish my free weights. And I have no fatigue issues with it. I have a great energy level.
All right. So all the things that would scare me are not there, except for the calciums. The high calciums do worry me. Okay, then the next step, are you on a vitamin K supplementation regimen?
I am.
Good. Vitamin K what? K2? Okay, good. How much K2?
I take one per day. It is a 100 mcg.
Okay. So 100 micrograms. All right. Which is a pretty good dose. All right. On balance, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of interventions that anyone is going to want to do with you as long as you stay out of fibrillation. If you continue going back into it, then we may want to put you on an anticoagulant too, just so that you don't flip a clot out and have a pulmonary embolism or a stroke.
Yes, my concern.
Yeah, that's everybody's concern that knows anything about this condition. For the audience out there that has been lost and doesn't know what we're talking about.
Thank you.
Atrial fibrillation is a condition in which the two upper chambers of the heart, the atria, which are supposed to contract shortly before the lower big ventricles contract. They kind of preload, pump the blood down into the ventricles. The ventricles then pump it out. The right side through the lungs goes back to the heart. The left side is the biggest pumping chamber, and that's what pumps the blood out through your entire body. Those atria are the ones that signal the ventricles when they're supposed to contract. And in atrial fibrillation, those atria, instead of contracting the way they're supposed to, are just sitting there wiggling like a bag of worms. And the ventricles that are supposed to be getting the signal that says contract now, are getting signals hundreds of times a minute, you know, sometimes 1,000 times a minute or more. They're being bombarded with these electrical signals. So the ventricles don't really know exactly when to contract. So they're just kind of having to do their thing independently with their own pacemaking system, while the atria are just wiggling away, and they're not preloading. They're not pumping the blood down into the ventricles like they're supposed to. So during these episodes, you lose 15 to 20% of your cardiac output because you're not loading the ventricles effectively. And you also can get a very irregular heart rate, which can further decrease your rhythm or your output. And the biggest worry is that those atria, because they're not contracting regularly, will form clot. We call it a mural thrombus. A clot will form across the entire upper wall of that atria. And then when you go out of fibrillation back into a normal rhythm, that conversion to a normal rhythm causes the atria to now contract, and it can push that clot, break that clot off, and send it down into the ventricles, where it can get pumped out into your lungs, causing a pulmonary embolism and sudden death, or pumped out of the left ventricle out into your brain or your extremities and cause a thrombus that can be devastating or even fatal. So atrial fibrillation worries us. We don't want people going in and out. And it's not when you're in the fibrillation that's scary. It's when you've been in fibrillation a while and you come out and get a normal contraction is when you pump that clot out of the atria down into the ventricle. That's when you're at the most danger. So we don't want people going in and out and in and out, because that's where the highest degree of danger is. So that said, his initial question was one I'm going to have the biggest difficulty answering, and that is, why is this happening? It is the consensus of most physicians that look at this, is that this is a microcirculation issue, that somewhere in the tiny, tiny blood vessels that provide the nutrition to that electrical conduction system in the atria that's supposed to have the sinus node contract fire first, and then that electrical impulse is supposed to sweep in an organized fashion across the atria, then go to the atrioventricular node, and from there on down to the ventricle. That electrical system has gotten flawed. Gotten faulty, probably to tiny, tiny, tiny blood vessels that are actually too small for us to see on imaging studies. And it's probably those little tiny vessels that are going bad and are starving that electrical system for the nutrition they need. Hence, they start dysfunctional, become dysfunctional.
Hey, Alex, this has been really good. I think our listeners are appreciating this, and we hope you do too.
I do.
We do appreciate your call today. Thank you.
So take care, sir. Good luck. And follow your cardiologist's instructions very carefully.
Speaking of which, we will have Dr. Reuben Maiden on the show October 3.
He is my favorite cardiologist.
Yes, and for good reasons. We'll talk about that. Dr. Reuben Maiden, again, I believe that is a Saturday, October 3. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but that's coming up. So that will be fun. You know what I like about these calls today? Well, I like this is why we do the show. We not only are answering questions, but we are illustrating for you on the radio show what true healthcare is designed to be. when the average primary care physician, according to the last study I read, actually talks to their patient, communicates, 5 minutes and 22 seconds in the typical primary care physician appointment. This is why we have one-hour appointments. You actually get the teaching process, the communication, the back and forth, questions asked. You actually get to delve deep into a topic. That makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
It does. You know, I have sometimes contemplated, I've gone through multiple careers in my life.
Okay, tell me.
Well, I mean, you know, I started off, of course. You know, I did my stuff with the government for a little while in Asia. And then, of course, I was a student for many years. And then I was a country doctor. And, you know, and then I started these clinics. And so every 20 years or so, I seem to cycle through something else.
Okay.
And I have sometimes wondered, you know, what's my next career? And I sometimes played with the idea of becoming a college professor. And simply talking to young people about biology.
Yeah.
Or human biology specifically.
Yeah.
The problem I would have, I think, in a modern college campus is that our woke students and professors don't believe that biology is a real science. You know, they think that your emotions and your desires change what you are.
Yeah.
And it's simply not true.
Facts actually become violence to those that are woke.
Yeah. If you tell somebody a fact, an objective, provable, demonstrable fact that disagrees with their political view, you are committing an act of violence upon them should be attacked.
That's right.
it's just stupid.
It's insane.
So I like to go here because here, if they don't want to hear what I have to say, they can just turn off the dial.
That's right.
Shut it off. Go away.
But I'm happy to say they don't. And that's why we've been on the air for 22 years nearly. But again, I'm trying to share that it's this kind of relationship that you can have at longevity. You need your primary care physician. You're going to break a finger. You're going to get bronchitis. You're going to have those types of issues. You need, we insist, you have a primary care physician.
Yes, we aren't that.
We're not that.
Our specialty is the aging process. Okay, and we are different from the geriatrician, who's basically expert in adjusting the dozen or two drugs that most old people end up on. We are not into polypharmacy. Our specialty is how do we help people to age most effectively? How do we make them stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier next year than last year?
Feel and function better.
Absolutely.
That's our objective. Our number one battle is the fact that most Americans have been trained to believe that you have to fall apart like everybody else.
Yeah.
And that there's nothing you can do about it. You're getting older. Oh, you're going to get dementia. Oh, you're going to get fat. Oh.
The reality is you don't have to age the way most people age.
That's it.
You can age far differently. You can be stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier. And if you decide not to, that's your choice too.
And I get a little extra passionate about it, and some people don't appreciate that, but that's okay. Others who are really fed up with the aging process realized, hey, there is something that we can do. So I get excited about the free health analysis appointments. You have the blood test, you have the special in-body test that we do, and from those tests, you'll understand what some of your basic health risks are. We're so confident that the measurement that you need to have done, measurement, you know, if you don't measure, you don't know. You hear Jerry say that all the time. We'll do that for you, at least that initial simple testing. And then you have the information you need to make an intelligent decision about what you want to do about it. And there you go. And some of you will want to become patients at longevity. Others maybe not, but that's okay. At least get the information so you can make an intelligent decision. And the appointments are free. The good news, I said earlier that I get to be a hero because for the first time in about 4 months, we do have enough of the free health analysis appointments, at least through the middle of October. It's really those first 2 weeks in October that we've got like 12 or 13 appointments and available in each of our three clinics. So that's really good news. So Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland, when you go now, you'll have a variety, a selection, a good selection, a convenient selection, and you can make those appointments now. And we'll even give you the $100 of free supplements, free longevity supplements of your choice. Lots to choose from, or the two free fitness books and the free fitness bands. Your choice, just for coming in for a free appointment. You make your appointment online at lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. Or you can call 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. We hope you will do that. When we come back, we've got some more questions. Suzanne from Bothell has a question about colon polyps. Bob from Bothell, leg cramps, and lots of reasons to stick around. Don't go far. More Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon in about a minute.
I, too, am a clinic member, and what really started me going to the clinic was I'm not feeling so hot. I will budget for the rest of my life to be in your clinic. Thank you so much for everything.
Ooh, you come on like a dream. Peaches and cream, lips like strawberry wine. You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine.
That nice lady was saying she'll budget forever. When you're feeling better, it's just a matter of priorities if you want to feel better or not. So if you're unhappy with the aging process, that's why you're listening to this show. You want questions, you want answers, and that's what longevity is all about. But enough said. I get so excited about when I hear patients at longevity, when they're feeling better, it just makes me proud. You must go nuts being proud.
Well, you know, when you're talking about priorities, it is a matter of priorities. Yeah. When we started Social Security way back in the 1930s, the average American lifespan was 56.
Oh, boy.
So they made 65 the age at which you could collect Social Security. And the plan being most Americans would die before they collected any of that money.
Right.
So they'd put money in the pot, and most of them would die, and about 6% of the population would actually collect any of that money, and it was pretty cheap. Now, of course, the average American age at death is 79.7 years. So everybody collects Social Security. And they don't just collect it for a short period. They collect it for more than a decade, decade and a half on average.
Right.
The result is that, you know, the system's in trouble because people aren't dying as early as they were planning on dying when they set the system up.
If we use the same logic, Social Security should kick in around
85 or 90, somewhere around there. Sure. You know, if the idea was you would let most people die before anybody collected, and that used to be the system. It isn't anymore. But my point is that retirement at 65 was great when most people didn't live to be 65. So if you got that old, it was perfectly fine that you should stop work and live, rest on your laurels. We don't do that. And if you're healthy, you're not going to die at 79. 79 is the average age at which people die. But the average older American is fat and slow with high blood sugar, heart disease, erectile disorders, and cognitive decline.
Yeah, just think if we had an elder.
If we had a lean, fit population, and those that are lean and fit, you can count on being healthy not till 65. You can count on being healthy until you're in your 80s and 90s. So why do we count on you being incapable of working at 65 when you have a great chance of being healthy and robust until you're in your early 90s? And that's why I'm not retired. I'm 73 and I'm not retired. I have no plans to retire.
Lord, no.
You know, please. Retire and do what?
Yeah.
I love my work. I'm having a great time. Yes, it's true. It's a bit of a nuisance to pay the maximum Social Security every year.
Yeah. We
in my 70s. Yeah, we still got to pay it. Yeah. You know, I don't know what they're planning. I'm going to live to be, what, 370 or something? Yeah, I think at some point there should be an age at which you quit paying into Social Security. But there isn't. But my point, I guess, is that you do not have to quit and retire. If you are feeling great, if you're strong, you're fast, you're lean, you're smart, you're having a robust and joy-filled life, why do you want to waste your time sitting in a rocking chair or watching television or playing golf, for that matter? Why not be productive? Why not create and build and grow and learn and, yes, make some money into your 70s and 80s and 90s?
Yeah. This reminds me of our good friend Rajiv Nagayach, who says the two most dangerous years of your life are the year you're born and the year you retire.
Yes.
Retirement is...
It's a killer.
It is literally a killer.
Yeah. No, sedentary is the new smoking. A sedentary lifestyle will kill you. It's real simple. And so there's no better impetus to staying active than getting up every day, going out, and making your fortune.
Yeah.
Learn, grow, build, create, make some money.
It's a healthy thing to do.
It certainly is.
Doesn't have much to do about the money. That's sort of a side
benefit. But the money is part of building, growing, creating.
Yep.
You know? If you're being creative and growing and building things, then you're probably making a profit in the process.
Yep.
And there's no reason not to. And we have people, patients of ours, that had retired, that had became patients, that started feeling so good, they went back to work.
Oh, yes.
You know? And so, yes, they're paying fees to Longevity Medical Clinic, but they're making a lot more than they're paying us because they are now in their most productive years again.
I'm thinking of one guy who came to us as a patient. He was 67 years old. And he had retired because he barely could get off the couch. In fact, it took him about a year and a half to even come out to one of the seminars that we used to do because he just didn't have the energy. He just was miserable, became a patient, and within a year he had started two new successful businesses.
Sure.
And was just going gangbusters, traveling. His whole life was revolutionized. Anyway, let's take another call. We've got time to sneak one in here. Let's go to Bothell, talk with Suzanne. Suzanne, welcome.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi there. In reference to what you just were talking about, the AFib, I used to have SVT. Is that any way related?
SVT is supraventricular tachycardia. It is related in the sense that the signals are coming from the atria. See, supraventricular means above the ventricle or in the atria. So if your heart is racing because that sinus node is firing quickly, that gives you an SVT. So but that's different from the atrial fibrillation where the atria are not contracting. Your atria, if you had SVT, were contracting normally. Just the whole heart was beating faster than usual.
And right. With that, I got to say that we've only got about 3 minutes, so okay. A new question.
Yes, you want to continue?
All right. The question I called about is you also were talking about colon polyps.
Mm-hmm.
And my question about that is some years ago, probably 10, 15 years ago, I had a colonoscopy just because you get a certain age, I think you should do it.
Sure.
And apparently they didn't have anything there. Then after that, 2 or 3 years, I had a prolapsed colon. So they had to go in and fix that. And when they were doing that, they found some polyps. Now, none of them were cancerous. But
good.
They were there. I was wondering what causes them.
Polyps in the colon are frequently associated with inflammation, irritation. Low-fiber diets tend to trigger more polyp formation. Inflammatory diets that have more red meat, more fat, especially more overheated and charred fat, causes enough irritation and inflammation to trigger adenomatous polyp formation. There are viruses that can trigger adenomatous polyps too. but if you have polyps, then you should have a more frequent colonoscopy because the more polyps you've got, statistically, the higher risk one of them will become a cancer at some point. So people that have a lot of polyps, we tell them, A, go in and just have somebody remove the polyps. They can just take them off with a little loop and check more frequently than you would other people, just because they're at higher risk.
So would that mean doing another colonoscopy or just...
Probably, yes. Colonoscopy, or now we have something called Cologuard, where all they send you a box, and in that box is a little stool collection, and you send them a little piece of poop. You put it in the toilet, you put a little bit of stool in the box, and you mail it back to them. And they are actually doing genetic polymerase chain reaction testing, looking for genetic materials that were commonly found in cancers. And so if your Cologuard is negative, you probably don't need a colonoscopy. If your Cologuard is positive, then they wouldn't need to go in and do a colonoscopy on you.
That's something I order from my doctor?
Your doctor will order that for you. Medicare pays for it.
Yeah, it's a prescription.
Covered. But it's out of pocket's about $300 if you're not insured, but Medicare covers the bill pretty much for most people. So if you had a history of polyps, I'd get a Cologuard every year or two just to be safe.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time. You have a great day.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Suzanne. Bye-bye. Appreciate your call. My apologies to Bob in Bothell. He had a question about leg cramps. And we also had, what was this? Real quickly. What's the name and spelling of that cream for precancerous skin lesions you mentioned a couple of weeks ago? Do you remember the
name? Inusol Mebutate, and boy, I can't spell it with a hoot. I have to always look it up.
Mebutate, Mebutate, but what's the first word?
Inusol. I think it's Imusol or something like that.
Imusol Mebutate.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's Imusol or Inusol. Again, I have to look it up.
Anyway, so there you go.
Inusol Mebutate, and your doctor can look it up in the PDR.
There you go. And with that, thank you for a wonderful show. Jerry, this is a very fulfilling show. Lots of wonderful calls and by wonderful people. Again, your first step, maybe you are fed up with the aging process that you or your spouse is experiencing. Make a free health analysis appointment by going online at lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and have a wonderful rest of your weekend.